Thank you, Chancellor Blumenthal. I think we've got time for a few questions. Fred?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the time. First of all, Senator Blumenthal, I want to compliment you on all the fine work that you've done in a very short period of time at UC Santa Cruz, especially in regards to the campus climate and the community. I think we've all seen a lot of progress, and I know that's due to your hard work. I want to talk a little about the diversity of the campus and the faculty in particular. I'm looking at this paragraph where you described that UCSC has the highest percentage of women faculty among the UC's 36%. 3% of UCSC's tenured track faculty are African American, 1% American Indian, 12% Asian Pacific Islander, and 7% Hispanic Latino, and 70% white Caucasian, and 6% declined to state their ethnicity. I really think that we could explain better how important it is that we track this information when they're filling out the form, so that they don't just, I think we do a better job in that area. And I was pleased to see the Meet the Faculty, that there is a lot of diversity and some of your key faculty members. That's great. But I don't know how to measure faculty diversity at UC Santa Cruz. And so I wondered if, I assume we're making progress, but I was hoping that you could comment a little bit on what you are doing specifically, as the chancellor to improve faculty diversity. So if you can talk a little bit to that, I would appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Regent Reese. Of course, faculty diversity is crucial. And as I mentioned in my talk, we're proud of the number of women faculty that we have, ladder-rank faculty that we have on our campus. We have 36%, as you mentioned. And in terms of underrepresented minorities on the faculty, it's something like 23%. Which is not the best in the UC system, but it is, I think, fourth in the UC system. But we can and we have to do better. One way that we're doing better is I have actually appointed two chief diversity officers, one of whom is a faculty member, to monitor and make progress on diversity among faculty. One of the ways that we're doing that, for example, is that every search committee for every faculty position at Santa Cruz must include an appointee who is specifically charged with ensuring diversity of the pool and diversity of those who are being brought in to interview. We also provide training for every search committee on campus to ensure that they're aware of the need for diversity and ways in which we can actively achieve a diverse pool of applicants. So I think there's a potential to make progress, but certainly progress has been slower than I would have liked, and I think we have to be constantly vigilant on that issue.
Regent Cosberg?
I wonder if you could elaborate a little bit more about the NASA AIMS site and the planning time frame and what federal budgets are doing to help and the implications with the state budget.
Right. As you may recall, when you approved moving forward with this project last year, we were under a deadline to achieve an agreement with NASA by December 31st. If that had not happened, this project would be dead and gone, basically. We were able to achieve that agreement with our partners that included De Anza Foothill College, Santa Clara University, and Carnegie Mellon University. Since that time, we have set up an LLC called University Associates, and we are now in conversation with some master developers to essentially begin the CEQA process. Because remember that before we can turn over a spadeful of dirt, we will have to do a full CEQA analysis of the site. And our hope is that will be both funded by and led by a private developer. So we're in negotiations right now, the limited liability corporation or company is in negotiations now with several master developers. The economic climate has not made that easier. The economic climate today is considerably worse than it was a year ago when I first discussed this issue with the regions. On the other hand, there are developers who are still actively interested, and given the time frame for this development, what's important is not what we're looking at today economically, but rather what we will be looking at in 5 years. So we continue to make progress, and I hope that I will be able to report back to you early next year of considerably greater progress.
And the federal implications from the budget, any impact or no impact?
Well, the federal implications, our hope is that we will be able to get some federal money to help us in this effort. But that's going to some extent depend upon Congress. The campus itself has, of course, been the beneficiary of stimulus money from the federal government, but this particular project has not yet been a beneficiary of that.
Regent Johnson.
I want to ask you a question about your guiding principles. One of the statements you make on your guiding principles, you indicate that you must invest differentially rather than incrementally. Does that mean that you are weeding out some programs, or just what does that mean?
Well, in the case of Santa Cruz is an interesting campus because, at least from my perspective, if you compare the campus today to where it was, say, a decade or 12 years ago, we have a number of really important departments that have really achieved national prominence. So when I talk about investing differentially, I'm really talking about making sure that we retain the excellence in the departments that have already achieved that, and that we identify those departments whose strategic planning or those research areas, it doesn't have to be a department, it can be interdisciplinary as well, are in a position where with a modest investment they can really achieve more. Right now, you know, our funding is a zero-sum game, frankly. It's a negative-sum game. So that means that to the extent that we can differentially invest, there are going to be winners and there are going to be losers. Of course, we're going to have to look at our weaker programs and find ways either to make them stronger or consolidate them. But that's an effort that takes some time and something that we continue to look at.
Well, I just want to congratulate you, too, on an outstanding presentation and a real overview of Santa Cruz. The project was well done.
Thank you.
Faculty Representative Powell.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Chancellor Blumenthal, I also applaud your outstanding presentation and the innovations being made with respect to recruitment of faculty who are diverse. But my question for you, I was particularly intrigued by the incorporation of statistical methods into the core instructional, and I think that's a very insightful thing. I'd like if you could tell us very briefly how you made that decision.
Well, frankly, it wasn't me that made that decision. That was a decision of the Academic Senate. At Santa Cruz, we had an interesting history. Our general education requirements had been in place for about 25 years. And about a decade ago, there was an effort to change them and to revitalize them, and that effort actually failed. So during the past 2 years, our Senate has undertaken to really look again at our general education and ask whether our requirements are attractive to students and meeting the needs of the 21st century. And so they went through a very careful process by which they garnered strong faculty support across the campus. And I'm very pleased to say that these really radical changes in our general education passed the Academic Senate virtually unanimously. There was really very little dissent at the end of the day because of the careful work that was done by our Academic Senate leaders. And our new requirements are very different than the way we used to do things. As I said, they identify core skills that have to be that our students must master. So I'm really excited, and I look forward to this being an additional attractive feature of the campus for potential students.
Regent Pattis.
Thank you. I had the opportunity last month to stop in and visit the campus, and I must say that it is as impressive as it is on these slides, which is certainly impressive, it is more impressive in person. And, I would certainly suggest that any regent who happens to be in the area, well, you never happen to be in that area. So if you're looking for a place to go for a couple of days where you'll really enjoy yourself and have an opportunity to see what's going on firsthand, I would encourage you to do that. I have a question. On the subject of diversity, what I heard you say was that in terms of filling positions, faculty positions and other positions and so forth, that you are making sure that the pool of candidates represents a wide variety of candidates that represent the diverse nature of the population and so forth, of those available. But ultimately, the final decision is on the most qualified candidate, yes?
Yes.
All right, fine. Thank you.
Faculty Representative Simmons?
Thank you, Regent Island. It's a comment, not a question. Terrific presentation, George. All throughout, I kept thinking about something that I had read in Clark Kerr's book, the first volume of his memoirs, where he pointed out that in an earlier budget crisis, there were calls within the university to close UC Santa Cruz in order to make money available to other campuses. And I can't help but thinking about what the state of California would have lost had we succumbed to those calls at the time. And it, for me, it's just a reminder that it is incumbent upon all of us to keep in front of us the need for the continued growth of the University of California and all of its existing campuses in order to serve the future of the state of California, notwithstanding the pain and suffering that we're all going through at the moment.
Regent Kiefer?
You mentioned the new curriculum. Can you explain how the connection between that curriculum and the transfer efforts that we're making in the university?
Sure. Every campus of UC, every undergraduate campus, has some form of general education requirements. But when students transfer in from community colleges and become junior transfers, it would be extremely difficult for them to actually satisfy the general education requirements of a campus to which they're transferring while simultaneously completing a major. And therefore, the University of California system has a program in place called IGETSE. And I'm not sure I could tell you exactly what those letters stand for. But what it means is that there is a general, vanilla-flavored general education set of requirements that if any community college students gets through all of those courses during their first 2 years of community college, during their community college experience, then when they transfer to a UC campus, they will automatically be deemed as having satisfied that campus's lower division general education requirements.
If I have recognized all of my colleagues who would like to speak, I'd like to close on my personal thanks to Chancellor Blumenthal for his very cogent and well-prepared presentation. I'm reminded again during this bitter season of budgetary woes and fright of a reason why we ought to draw a line in the sand behind the remarks of President Yudof relative to maintaining academic and university excellence and quality and access. I think your presentation, highlights the urgency of that. We have major challenges going forward. I don't think your campus is unique, George, relative to the challenges of access, affordability, and diversity. But I urge you to keep your eye in particular on the great challenge of diversity. As I've said to my colleagues before, Ultimately, it will define who we are as a university. It will define who we are as a state and a nation, and we can't assume it's going to work itself. It has to be dealt with. It has to be paid attention to. I welcome your status as having the most female professors. I think that's a good status in an otherwise bad set of stats. We need to do better relative to female faculty. We need to do better relative to underrepresented minority faculty. It's a challenge. This isn't easy. If it was easy, we would have given this job to someone else. We gave it to you because we thought that you could meet this challenge, and I hope you can. I wish you luck. I offer you any support that I can. Thank you very much again.